Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' win over the Suns on Monday night and a little bit about the games in Salt Lake City and Denver over the weekend. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, you and I are doing two podcasts this week. We've got the Warriors, and you can also hear Ray on 49ers Extra. And the one that's probably more fun and easier to do is this one, Dubs OT, because the Warriors are such a fun team to cover and watch, and 3-1 after their first four games. We got a couple games to catch up on, but let's start with this game against the Phoenix Suns, which turned into a blowout, and you know, the Warriors played so well. And I think the one thing that stands out to me about this game, Ray, is the way Damian Jones played. And I know he had his shot blocked at the end of the previous game against Denver, but in this game, he was so determined. He was around the basket a lot. The Warriors are looking to get him the basketball, and man, he was just a lot of fun to watch, especially when you consider the matchup was against the number one pick in the draft and DeAndre Ayton. And certainly while they were out there on the floor together early in the game, Jones had the better of it. What did you think?
Absolutely, he did. The number one pick of the draft wasn't paying much attention to poor old Damian Jones, who was an end of the first round pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he was getting free. Their transition defense was horrible and they weren't paying attention to him. And I think for Damian Jones' part and for the Warriors' part, and he said at postgame that this was second night of a back-to-back coming back from Denver. You need the young guys to get you energized, and he definitely gave them a jump start. And they got into a good flow, and they didn't look back.
And here's what Damian Jones said about his first week in the NBA as a starting center.
I guess it was a solid start, especially with the time being, you know, games like, you know, day off in game, so not much preparation for everybody, but just, you know, trying to learn everybody's tendencies. The coach has been in my ear trying to, you know, give me the scouting report and everybody, and just trying to learn from there on the go.
Here's what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say about the impact that Damian Jones is having so far.
It's great to have him in the starting group because that's when we have the most shooting out on the floor, and then he gives us that vertical space threat that that makes it tougher to guard. And so I think the guys really enjoy playing with him, and I thought he was better tonight. He still can get better defending without fouling, because what he's got to understand is he's so physically imposing that he doesn't have to foul. Just make people shoot over the top of you. They're already afraid of you, so don't let them off the hook.
Yeah, I think these young guys are really energizing this team because, I mean, the main issue, and we saw it last year when the Warriors did lose games, was just staying engaged. Because the All-Star guys, I mean, they've been through it before. They know it's a long season. But I think when you see young players or a new player, when you saw Jarepko, by the way, you know, I guess that's the way we should be pronouncing it, is Jonas Jarepko, although we're not always hearing that. But anyway, when you saw him on that follow, you know, the follow tip-in that won the game in Utah, there was a lot of emotion there that you normally wouldn't see in a Warriors victory early in the season. And you're seeing that with him, and then with some of the younger guys, it's just a lot of emotion and excitement, a lot of smiles when these guys play well.
Well, they're trying to contribute on this developing iconic franchise, you know, this team that's going to be one of the greats in NBA history, if it isn't already. And the ability to come onto this new team that's ruling the roost and help win a game, that's a great feeling. And I think that the guys who have been here a few years, they see that and they kind of feed off that energy. So that's why, I've said it before, for example, covering the NBA in the 80s and seeing the Celtics and the Showtime Lakers both those teams had to mix in people. You know, they had the core great players, but they had to mix in different elements after a couple of years, not only to strengthen their bench, just to keep things interesting. And so I think what the Warriors have done a decent job of that here. I think Yarebko is going to be a pretty important guy coming off the bench because he can do a lot of different things. And, oh, by the way, he made 3 three-pointers tonight.
Yeah.
They haven't had anything coming off the bench from three. That's what they're searching for. So maybe he's a guy who can provide that. He shot 41% last year from three. He shot 40% a couple of other times in his career. So one would think he's a guy that it's important for him to feel like he's in the mix. And I think Steve Kerr said it when he got that winning tip. It's like he felt like he belonged now. And, you know, maybe he's going to get a boost of confidence from that and start playing the way he knows how.
Yeah, I mean, and that was emotional for him to be playing against a team that let him go in Utah. And he looks pretty comfortable on those threes. I mean, he looks like, you know, it's kind of a set shot for him. And maybe he might have been afraid to take one early on. I mean, now that there are a few games under his belt and he had that tip in, that kind of gives him confidence where, you know, I know I can make these. And, you know, I know there are a bunch of other guys in this team that should be taking them maybe instead of me. But if he's open and he looks that comfortable, why not, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm sure they tell him that. They tell to all these guys who are capable of shooting threes, you know, a shot not taken is a detriment to the whole team. If it's open and you have the ability to make it, fire away. That's what they're all about. And, you know, they haven't shot threes at a very good pace up to tonight. And, you know, tonight they weren't that great either, but they were better. They're still barely climbing over 30% for the year. And it's been about Steph Curry and hardly anybody else making threes. So they need to get that threat going from somebody else and especially from the bench.
Here's what Steph Curry said after the Monday night win against the Suns about the three-point shooting.
I mean, a lot of it, I think if you think about some of the shots that, you know, that we've had from three-point line the first three games, kind of probably besides my, you know, off-the-dribble stuff, they were tougher shots. I would say 33 of the 37 were great looks. And you can create those over time when guys continue to build their rhythm. Our percentages will go up and it'll be the threat that we want it to be. So I know Clay, KD, even Draymond, you know, getting his looks. Guys off the bench, Andre, Alfonso knocking one down, Jonas too, so, or Eunice. That's going to be a threat for us for sure.
Yeah, Steph looks like he's in a pretty good rhythm shooting the threes, whereas his splash brother partner, Klay Thompson, does not. However, I thought in this game it was important that Klay kind of eschewed the threes for a while there and just said, you know what, I'm just going to shoot some mid-range jumpers, some catch-and-shoot shots from maybe, whatever, 18 to 20 feet, and he was drilling those. And, you know, I think the threes are going to come. He had that one, the one that he made, it kind of rolled and went in, and then he had a smile on his face as if to say, yeah, finally one goes in. I mean, he always goes through streaks, right? I mean, this is not a problem, I don't think.
Oh, no, I don't worry about Klay. I never worry about Klay. The only thing I worry about is that his ankle's okay after he turned it.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying it's a mild sprain, but with ankles, you never know. I mean, this is a guy who's been incredibly sound physically throughout his career. You never hear much about injuries with Klay, and look at all the work he does at both ends of the floor. But as far as his shooting, as long as the ankle's okay, I'm not going to worry about him. It was funny when that one rolled in. It's like, geez, you know, can I make one finally? Can you take the lid off here? He was probably thinking about it a little bit. He takes that stuff to heart. But the overarching emotion for him, the thought is, you know, I've been doing this for years. I'm a shooter. I know they're going to go in eventually. I'm going to keep firing away. But I think the difference is that he's trying to get shots off the dribble. And we've talked about this before, that he's trying to expand his game a little bit more and be a guy who can take somebody off the dribble, especially to the elbow, to the free throw line, and knock down a shot instead of being just a catch and shoot guy. But catch and shoot is still the thing he does the best by far. So that's how he's going to have to get into a rhythm. And then, you know, if he's not hitting his three, then get the mid-range jumper, get the layup, and just watch the ball going through the twine and get that feeling back. And he started getting it back after the first quarter. You know, he was forcing some shots, I think. And if he's in the flow and he's feeling it, then, you know that eventually he's going to get hot and the numbers are going to be there. But I'm going to call attention to a couple things tonight. At the end of the half, when Steve Kerr inserted Quinn Cook for a little offense, and Klay Thompson was over on the right wing, and he made a great cross-court skip pass to the wide-open Cook. I love that play by Klay. And Cook knocked down the shot, and you know the Warriors were in control. And here's a number for you. Klay was plus 22. He had the highest plus-minus on the team, and he only played 25 minutes. So he was doing his thing offensively. He finally got going, and he always does at the defensive end.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
There's so many playmakers on this team, Ray, and I think they are having some really good ball movement. You know, at times last year, and when they did lose games, that was an issue where it got a little bit stagnant. But, you know, you mentioned the Showtime Lakers of the 80s, and they like to run, and the Warriors are running in this game against the Suns. They had a lot of fast break points, and they're moving the ball, and that's what you want to see. I mean, I have to think that Steve Kerr right now is pretty pleased with the way that's going. Yeah, they've had some turnovers. They've had maybe more than they would like, but at least they're moving the ball, and they've got their playmakers, like Draymond Green getting a lot of assists, and you mentioned that play that Thompson made, and Curry, you know, just moving the ball around the way they should.
14 turnovers, and they committed fewer fouls in this game as well. They had 24 fouls, and when you force the turnovers the way they did, and you played the good defense, you're going to get out on that fast break, and I think that was a point of emphasis for sure, to push the pace a little bit more. But you do that, you're able to do that when you don't have stoppages. Draymond Green mentioned it, you know, how many times they've been facing set defenses so far this year because they've committed so many fouls. Not so in this game, and they had a 34-6 edge on fast break points. And again, that looked a little bit more like the team we've seen in the last few years, and they ended up shooting 51%. But I love that, and I love the assist total of 35. That's getting back up to what we're used to seeing as well.
Yeah, for so many guys on a team that can score, and, you know, studs like Steph Curry and, you know, KD, and all these guys, Klay Thompson, who could score on their own, they're so unselfish. We've always talked about that with this Warriors team, you know, of recent years and the teams that have won. But sometimes, you know, there might be some criticism about being unselfish. And I have to say that, Ray, I think it was unwarranted a little bit. I saw some comments from some media members about the end of the game against the Nuggets. I thought Curry made the right play. He has an open man in Damian Jones under the basket. Yeah, his shot got blocked, and yeah, the Warriors lost because of that, but I don't think Curry should be forcing some shot when he's got an open man down there. What did you think of that play and just the way, you know, the unselfish nature of the team, you know, plays into it all?
Well, first of all, I didn't have any problem with him issuing the timeout and just going. You know, that's where you have the defense on the run, especially with ball in Curry's hands.
Right.
Could he have stopped and popped, you know, from the elbow? Maybe. And would that have been a good shot? I think he felt like he couldn't because the defender was on his right shoulder. But they were giving him part of the lane anyway as he drove to his left. So he was taking the play they were giving him, and it was the right play. It was. It just so happened that, you know, Damian Jones went up, and great job by Juancho Hernan Gomez, one of the great names in the league.
Right.
I don't think Jones saw him, and, you know, Hernan Gomez closed and made a terrific defensive play. And that was sort of capping what has been a very good defensive week for the Nuggets. I think they're the only team in the NBA that hasn't allowed a 100-point game yet. So, you know, in a year where already we're seeing offense way up. So, you know, that was the right play. It was the right pass. He had a great look. It just took a great play to stop him.
You know, those two games on the road in Salt Lake City and in Denver, the Warriors fell behind by quite a bit. They had to come back, and they did it and were able to beat the Jazz, but they couldn't do it against Denver. You know, it seems like they enjoy that role. I mean, last year we know what they did all the time in the third quarter, but they really enjoy when they're behind, they enjoy being able to come back. It's not that they want to be behind like that, but they have that ability that, you know, they're just never out of the game, of course. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch because you can go through these regular season games and they're so much better than a lot of teams, but when they fall behind like that, it really makes it intriguing.
Yeah, it does. They do have that habit from time to time, especially on the road. But I think it's a great rush for them to be able to come back and crush somebody's spirits after they thought they had the game in hand. and they almost came back and did it in Denver. What were they were down by 15. But they were playing some pretty bad basketball in Denver, too. That's the downside of it. You don't want to get into that kind of habit. So I think, those games are kind of fun, especially out on the road. From time to time, you get away with a W on the Yurepko tip in Utah. But they also like these games, like the one they had against Phoenix back at home, where they can take a break a little bit and reduce the minutes because it is going to be a long season. We talked about it before, they're kind of like a cat with a ball of yarn, and sometimes it drives you nuts the way they toy around with teams. But I think in the case of this last road trip, these are two teams that are on the rise in the Western Conference, both Denver and Utah, and they're to be reckoned with. And, you know, as teams that, you know, purport to be upper echelon in the West, they want to take down the champs. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, about how they have a target on their back. And sometimes we use that as an excuse for their poor play. But I really think in the case of Denver and Utah, they want to make their mark against these guys this year. And Utah beat them 3 of 4 last year. So it's very important for the Warriors to get that win. Just to remind Utah, hey, don't get in this habit of thinking you're going to beat us every time.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about Damian Jones, and a key talking point, I think, during this season is going to be what happens at the center position. And, you know, it really is interesting to think about because you've got Jones playing really well right now. Jordan Bell is barely getting any playing time at all. Looney's getting some time. Bell, I mean, it's funny. I was reading Sports Illustrated, and, you know, it's an issue from a few weeks ago, and they were talking about before the season how Bell is going to be the starting center, and, you know, he could be the starting center throughout the season. Well, that's not happening. And you look at DeMarcus Cousins, and he's starting to do some more practice drills, and you wonder when he'll come back. They're not going to rush him, and he seems to be an important piece as far as even helping out in the development of Damian Jones. You see the interaction that they have. What do you think, Ray, when you look at it and how it's all playing out and how you think it will play out during the season as far as this center position?
Well, right now, Jordan Bell doesn't seem to be in the mix, but we know that can change. And I know they're telling him your time will come and all that. But right now, I don't think they like what he's bringing to the table. And they definitely want to give Damian Jones some reps because, you know, with JaVale McGee gone, he's going to kind of be that guy, right? That you can throw the lobs to and get the rebounds and block some shots and bring some energy. And, you know, JaVale, of course, has sort of an asthmatic condition, which prevents him from going more than 5 or 6 minutes. You know, then he needs some rest. Damian Jones is going to be a guy who can go 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes and go at a frenetic pace, being the young guy. I think they want to see, you know, after a couple of years of going back and forth, what he can do. They know what Looney can do, and they like what he brings to the table as well. And he's become more svelte, you should say, and more, I guess, athletic would be one of the words, more agile because he does the jiu-jitsu, you know, Brazilian art of self-defense. And maybe he's going to be a guy that is going to get some prominent time once again this year. You like the way he contributed last year. He's trying to develop that mid-range shot more consistently because they're going to leave him alone. So I would say that Damian Jones is a guy that they really want to develop this year more than anything else. Sounds like Cousins is coming along pretty quickly, maybe a little faster than anticipated. And they, you know, that's going to be the big story going forward because, you know, we talk about, oh, nobody's shooting threes but Steph. Well, okay, put Cousins on the court. He can shoot threes, too, along with everything else. That's going to be the big build-up to Cousins. But it is interesting to see what these young guys can do. I guess Cousins is kind of mentoring them. But it seems like, to me, it seems like Damian Jones is the guy that fits what they want to do right now.
Yeah, the thing that I'm excited about with Jones, Ray, is how athletic he is. I mean, not that I expect him to be clumsy out there, but a lot of times a big guy, you know, it can be challenging to catch passes or to even go after loose balls, and you just wonder, you know, he's so big, how's he going to do it? He looks so comfortable doing it. He's fluid, and, you know, I think Looney struggled with that a little bit early on, and he's gotten a lot better, and maybe, like you said, you know, doing the jiu-jitsu is helping him, but these guys are a little more nimble than you know, other centers when they first come into the league, and you just wonder how clumsy they might be.
Well, I remember back to the days of Festus Ezeli.
Yeah.
And the guy, he wasn't a terrible athlete or anything like that, but he had terrible hands.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember,
you know, yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It was frustrating because there'd be times where You made a great pass, and he fumbled it away, and it was just such a downer. He played real well at times in the finals in 15. I remember that going back to Cleveland, thinking, okay, now this guy's taking the next step. Unfortunately, he had the knee injury, and it's a terrible way it ended for him. But this guy, Damian Jones, as with JaVale McGee last year, doesn't seem to have any problem catching passes, and sometimes at awkward angles. I mean, he can really get up there, and you throw it behind him, he can reach back and slam it down anyway. The thing he's going to have to learn defensively as well, of course, is keeping his hands up. I remember opening night. There were a couple of times where Steve Kerr was making that motion with his hands to keep him up. That's a point of emphasis because you're seeing with the way they're refereeing games this year, all the freedom of movement that they want on both ends of the floor, keeping the hands down, reaching, grabbing, stuff like that, you're going to get whistled for it.
And yeah,
they're especially going to whistle the rookies. So he's really got, you know, the rule of verticality, you know, they call it. And he's really got to remember that. And I think that's the purpose of giving him a lot of playing time now to get his reps, to get used to how they're calling games and to work out any problems he has defensively. I think he's going to be a real good fit for them and a nice change of pace, too. He's going to be a change of pace guy even when Cousins is back.
You know, if they're going to make more of those calls, I mean, I think Steph Curry is going to have even a bigger year than what he's had in the past. I mean, it seems like he's going to get fouled more. Now, I don't know. They haven't called it all the time on him. He could have had a few more and ones or even, you know, three-point shots that could have turned into four-point plays. But, you know, I don't know. Are they going to call it that tight throughout the year? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's these points of emphasis, and then they kind of wane as the season goes on. They're not calling things as much. But there's no doubt in my mind that this will benefit the Warriors on offense because that's been a problem. We've talked about this before with Clay and with Steph, especially with Steph, how much they grab him, they tackle him. You know, and if this point of emphasis is applied equitably, then Steph Curry is going to be primed for an incredible year, and we've seen that already. I mean, you know, the workout he did in the offseason that emphasized his agility, I mean, he looks great. I mean, the way he cuts now, the way he moves, even more so than when he was younger, mm-hmm. and he's stronger now on top of that. So he should be able to fight through a little bit more of the grabbing on top of that. But the whistles are going to help him, you would think, going into this season. Now, on the other end, the Warriors have had an adjustment defensively, and they get in these habits of reaching, and it's been a problem in the past for them, and that's one of the reasons why they've committed so many fouls to start the year. But it's early. I mean, where they're four games now, I think they'll figure it out.
All right, to finish up, this is a sort of a feel-good story and another example of why the Warriors are a class organization. They have a halftime performer, the Red Panda, Rong Niu, and
yes.
Apparently Niu had her cycle, the unicycle, it was stolen at San Francisco International Airport from the luggage area, which we can get into that as well. But the Warriors presented a new custom-made unicycle to Rong Niu, and that is really cool. I mean, it means that much to them that they made sure that Rong Niu had the unicycle, which I just think that's amazing. I don't know that every team would do that.
No, I don't think every team would. And, you know, she has performed many times here, so I'm sure that they found out and figured out a way right, you know, immediately to help her out. That's just kind of the way they do. But who steals a unicycle?
How do you get away with it? That's the thing, right? I mean, you know, you could just walk right out of there with a unicycle and nobody checks. That's crazy.
What are you going to, apparently that's something they're going to try to sell on the open market or something, but otherwise, yeah, how many people have a use for
I know, that's exactly right. Oh, well, they're going to sell it somewhere, but who's, yeah, you're right, how many people will buy it?
Yeah, it's not a big market for that, I wouldn't think, but I guess it is a custom special unicycle, and they understand they got video of the person who stole it. So, first of all, if I'm sitting there waiting for my stuff and I see somebody take my unicycle, hell yeah, I'm going after them. But she was probably shocked that such a thing would happen, or maybe she didn't pay attention, didn't see right away. I'm not sure how it went down, but you got to watch it, I guess.
You do.
I can't believe it. What the hell are people doing stealing unicycles? I mean, it's bad enough you steal a suitcase, but a freaking unicycle?
By the way, and since, you know, I know you're in the middle of moving, a word to the wise. This actually happened to me in New Jersey one time when I was moving, was putting the box spring into the apartment and laid the mattress on the outside of the apartment, you know, outside, you know, right by the walkway. And while we're trying to get the box spring up the stairs, we walk outside, mattress gone. Somebody was driving by, with a van, enough, you know, room to fit a mattress, and stole it. It was just shocking. I mean, these kind of things happen.
They do. They do. You gotta watch it, especially if you do the pods, and you make sure it's locked up in certain neighborhoods. People will steal anything. What can I say? A mattress. We're trying to, a used mattress, right?
Right. It was a used mattress, but they stole it anyway. They don't care. Well, this pod has come to a conclusion, but folks, make sure you listen to Ray because he's going to be filling in for Steve Bono on 49ers Extra. Otherwise, talk to you about the Warriors next week, Ray. Thanks.
All right. Well, so the 49ers are the payment for getting to talk about the Warriors. I get it.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.